Well, instead of telling me why it's bad, which is what doubt's about, tell me why it's good.
Now what we're doing, you're creating certainty, right? Or confidence, at least.
Yeah,
right?
Well, you're converting the doubt to energy.
Yes.
Right?
You're listening to the world's best business podcast with Stelly Efti and Heaton Shaw, who insisted on having Stelly's name mentioned first, despite him having more Twitter followers.
Shut up!
If you're an entrepreneur who wants to get shit done, stop everything else and focus on this podcast for the next 20 minutes. Then go back to work and crush it.
What are we talking about today,
my man? Today we're going to talk about how to make decisions when you don't have all the information, because it's one of the sort of universal challenges everybody deals with when they're trying to make things.
Yes. So how do you deal with doubt, right? Which is what you're going to encounter.
All the time.
All the time.
Yeah.
Or like... What about, so it seems like, let's talk about this for a second. It seems like from a mystical perspective or a PR perspective or whatever you want to call it, romantic perspective, that the best entrepreneurs always knew what they were doing, never in doubt, always fully 100%. Trump is a great example, right? To take something recent.
Yeah.
He's rolling his eyes. Yeah. But Trump is like the perfect example of like what some people perceive as strong, which is like never in fucking doubt. I'm right at all times. Even if I'm wrong, I'm right. It blows my mind.
So I think I like that you started there, and not just Trump, just that idea, because there's a big difference between doubt and confidence. Right? You can be confident about it like Trump and still doubt it.
Oh, nice.
But be very confident about it, right? But that's also like in his case, and again, you started it, it's probably not genuine. So that's something to think about, right? Yeah. But like as a founder, you know, you have people that you're trying to lead to accomplish a goal, a common goal, right? You have, you know, lots of constituencies, whether it's investors, customers, your own team, partners, competition, right?
Yeah.
And I think that, you want to be confident, but you also don't want the confidence to look fake, like Trump, or look like unbelievable, right? To the point where it's irrational. So I think that the doubt piece and the confidence piece are actually two separate things. Confidence is how you communicate, and doubt is like more of an internal like dialogue, internal managing your doubt and still being able to communicate with confidence.
All right, so let's uncover this, because this is fascinating. So is the opposite side of the doubt coin, what is that? Clarity? If it's not confidence, what is it?
Well, I think it would be clarity. Yeah, it would be utmost clarity, right?
And then
you doubt something when you're not clear about it. You doubt something when you feel like you don't know.
Would you can we replace confidence with a certainty?
No, because
you say
there's certainty in communication. And that usually means that you don't have doubt. There's confidence in communication, which means you could have doubt.
That's interesting.
That's the way I see it.
That's the way you see it. So, what will be an example of you communicating something confidently, but everybody understanding that you might have doubt about what you just communicated?
We're gonna make it through this really hard situation, Stelly. We're gonna make it through. We've done things like this before, right? We can do this. That's with confidence.
Yeah, but
and honestly, true doubt. Because like you don't know if it's a hard situation, you don't know if you're gonna make it through. But someone's got to stand up and say, "Fuck this, we're gonna make it.
We're gonna make it."
That's the classic one for me.
Yes, but in the "fuck it, we're gonna make it" people, there's not much doubt that I can detect in that.
That's my whole point on confidence. Look, if you say something like that, like we're going to make it, and you're the leader of the company, and like for example, when we had a lawsuit, someone had to sit there and say, we're going to make it through this lawsuit, this business will still be alive.
Yes.
Right? And part of it was like saying that, and if someone doesn't believe you, guess what? At that moment, they get to leave.
Yeah.
Right? That's a very hard situation, right? Yes. Like we were sued, we knew that we were screwed, right? And someone had to stand up and say, we're going to make it.
Yes.
Right? Or we're not going to make it, which is an option too, right? And you could have doubt with that too, right?
Yeah,
so my point is like communicating with confidence is different than communicating with no doubt.
I'm not sure I'm there yet.
That's right? Okay. Let's keep going.
So I'm like, let's keep going and we'll see. We'll circle back to this one. All right. So rewinding, I think that the core of this, and Heaton and I, we were just chit-chatting on like, what do we want to talk about? And we're like, what? Your question to me was what?
I don't remember.
It was like, what are people struggling most with?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
What's the hardest thing?
And you said doubt.
Doubt, right? Because especially when you start a new company, a business, a startup, you have to make, and we all heard this, you have to make constant decisions based on imperfect data.
Yeah.
Right? You need to make decisions.
You never know everything.
And you don't know.
Yeah.
You don't have the time to know everything.
That's right.
So that as a, I think a side effect of that is that people either not trusting their own judgment to make a call because it feels too early for them to be safe in that call, to be certain that it's going to be right. Or when they make the call, they're constantly second guessing themselves because it takes some time to figure out if they were right or not. Or many times, which is the place where most companies die, is not massive failure or massive success. Both things are such strong signals that you can change. It's the middle.
So
something is working, but something isn't.
Let me frame this as a problem that's unrelated.
Okay.
Just for a second.
Yeah.
And see if that plays out for you.
Let's see.
So when you're having a child, right? Your wife is having a child, your partner is having a child, whatever, right? There's an option, what is it, 4 months in, 5 months in, of knowing the gender of the baby.
Yes.
Right? Male or female.
Yes.
Right? Some people choose not to know the gender.
Yes.
But then there's these decisions they need to make about the baby. Color of things is the big one.
Yeah, blue color, or pink. Blue
okay,
or
just,
pink.
Just without getting into gender bias, like that's literally what most people think about when they think about having a baby, which is I want to know the gender so I know what to buy.
Yes.
I know whether I buy like more girly stuff, more boy stuff, whatever, right? And yes, this is the thing. We can argue about neutral. We're not going to argue about that, right? So in that thing, in that at that point, what decision do you make if you decide that you're not going to find out? How do you make the decision of what to buy? What's the answer? That's basically the situation you're in many of the decisions you have to make as a startup, as a founder, is you don't know if it's a boy or a girl, but you have to make a decision about it. You have to start buying stuff.
Not only that, so I like that example, but even to trump that, it's like going to the doctor and you're not just opting in not to know if it's a boy or girl. You're also opting in to not know if your wife is truly pregnant, right? You don't really know if there's going to be a
birth.
Oh,
that's even worse.
Right?
Yeah, you don't even know if there's a kid in there. Okay,
So here's what you get. The doctor tells you there's a 50-50 chance you're going to have a baby in the next 9 months. That's truly what it's like because that, I think, elevates the amount of stress and uncertainty to like, we're going to pretend, but we really don't know.
So one of the things that's interesting is when you can get information like that, get it.
Yes.
So if you could find out whether you're pregnant or not, know it.
Know it.
If you could find out whether it's a boy or girl, you should know it. So I've actually seen people who, and this is a very common thing, where they're in doubt and they don't actually, and they could find out the answers.
Yep.
They could actually find out the answers pretty fast. They just either don't know how or really don't want to.
Yes.
Because they don't want to hear it.
Yes.
Right? So that's why I use that analogy because it's kind of the right one to think about without getting specific into any startup decision.
Yes.
Right? So if that's the case, like, what would you do? What would you do if you don't know if you're pregnant and you don't know the gender? So what many people would do is they'd hedge. So they'd buy all neutral stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But in a business, when you hedge, you're actually compromising.
Yes.
And when you compromise like that, you probably won't get where you want to go.
Yeah.
Because a compromise and a hedge means it could go either way.
Yes.
And in business, when you have a decision to make, it doesn't go either way. It's going to go one way or another. And yes, you have some level of control over influencing it. So, you know, I think the worst is when you hedge. So when you have doubt and then you hedge and you say, hey, maybe what if either outcome happens? How do we make sure, you know, we're okay or whatever? And generally, when you hedge like that, you end up just being right in the middle and being sort of in a complacent place.
It's when you try to be all things to all people,
and
then you're nothing to nobody. Yeah. Right? That's what it is. So you need to be comfortable to place a bet.
Yeah.
Right? You look at the information available.
Yeah.
Then you look at, you know, your own strengths, weaknesses. You look at, you take as much data as you have, whatever it is, and then you place a bet.
Yep.
And you need to be comfortable with going all in on that bet and then being wrong.
Yeah.
Because that's another thing. I think a lot of times why people are so stuck in a state of doubt as entrepreneurs is that we are also like terrified of being wrong. Like we just, the people are terrified of being wrong.
That's correct.
So they take being wrong really seriously versus as an entrepreneur, you need to get used to being wrong.
Oh, you can't take it seriously.
Right.
You have to design what you do so that if you're wrong, you can correct it.
Yes.
And you're also, if you're wrong, it's not so bad that you can't correct it or that it's going to take forever to correct it. So
right.
I think, you know, when I hear about a situation, let's talk about just a stupid, simple one, which everyone has, which is who's my customer?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so you can have a lot of doubt about that early on when you just have a product, right? And I see a lot of people having doubt about that. So one tactic you can use on that is, okay, what's the fastest way we can figure out who our customer actually is, right? And so let's say you don't have a product, you're trying to, or you have a product idea in mind, but you don't know who the best customer is. One approach you can take is like hypothetically figure out all the different customers you could have. But then you're still making, you're still actually thinking about it. You're not just saying it's everybody. You're saying, okay, maybe it's a dentist, maybe it's a doctor, whatever, right? Depending on what you're selling. And if you do that, then you're actually taking something where you have no information and trying to break it out. So when you don't have enough information, break it up, right? Don't just say, who's my customer? Be like, okay, out of the, what are the potential customers we could have? Because that's a good question. That's a good question to answer.
Yes.
The who's my customer is harder, but what are the potential customers we could have? That's easier.
Yeah.
Right? And then it's just about knowing them and then finding criteria. Honestly, for me, when I'm in doubt and it's a business problem, I'll make a matrix. I'll literally make a stupid spreadsheet with criteria and score them. So I'd score all those people on like, are they easy to reach? How much are they willing to pay? Can I reach them? Right? And things like that. And then if you have a score, then you're literally scoring the options and picking the one that you feel like has the best outcome. And if you're working with a team, you can debate the criteria per, you know, type of customer, for example.
So I love this because I think that the reason why a matrix, for instance, works for you, or a strong guess of mine, why a matrix can work, or a plus and minus list where you do pros and cons, right?
Whatever that's fine too.
The one of the core reasons why that works is not that it's the best rational way of doing things. No. It's because you're getting out of the state that you're in, because people forget that doubt is an emotional state.
Right.
It's literally a physical emotional state. And in that state, just like being hungry or being sleepy, being doubtful is a state.
Yeah.
In that state, typically what you tend to do is you tend to think of things in very abstract forms.
Right.
You tend to think of things in too big of a chunk.
A lot of maybes too.
Maybe
that could happen.
Very big non-concrete chunks.
Yeah.
And then you, what you do is you amplify that uncomfortable feeling of like, there's no way for me. I feel caged. I don't know where to go, what to do. So by getting all these thoughts and ideas out of your system, literally out of your emotional, physical
organizing
system.
It on paper.
Paper, like making it physically manifest itself somewhere else other than in your body and your mind.
It's out, right?
So it's out of your emotional body. It's not in a spreadsheet or on a white paper or on a whiteboard or somewhere else. And now you can look at it with distance,
it's
literally physical distance.
Yeah.
It's out of your body and you can have perspective.
Yeah.
And then even if still there's lots of options, you can now just check things off and go, it's not this.
Yeah.
Let's narrow it down at least.
That's right. Yeah.
Right. So we went from it's impossible to know everybody's our customer to, all right, we excluded these, at least these 40 out of the 60, and now we have 20. And now let's think about who is most likely the easiest for us to access or to start market to or whatever, right? Be pragmatic about things.
Yeah, but that incorporates what you said earlier, right? Which is you have strengths and weaknesses, right? And then you have options.
Yes.
Right? So a matrix can help you marry both of those things. You list out the options and you list out your, basically all the criteria is based on your strengths and weaknesses at the end of the day, right?
Yeah.
Reaching the customer, et cetera. And so I think that's a very practical way to go from doubt to having at least more clarity about like what to do.
Here's another tip when you're in doubt or when other people are in doubt.
Yeah.
A lot of times when I ask people a question and they don't know the answer, I make them guess.
Yeah.
It's a good way. It's
so
a
you
good
just
little
say,
hack.
Just make it up.
Yeah, I say
so
guess.
So like, if I say I don't know, you ask me something, I say I don't know. You're like, just make it up. What's the first thing that comes to your mind?
Yes.
Things like that.
If you had to guess, what would it be?
Yeah, let's go.
Oh, if you have three, which one of these markets are you going to address? Well, I don't really know. There's pros and cons for everything. Yeah. I'll go. All right, guess. If you had to guess right now, pick just one. What would it be?
And then I'd double down on that and say once they guess and they make one up, then you double down and be like, okay, now support it.
Yes.
Tell me why that's good.
Yeah. If you had to make a case why
that's
a good one.
Instead of telling me why it's bad, which is what doubt's about, tell me why it's good.
Now what we're doing, you're creating certainty, right? Or confidence at least.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, you're converting the doubt to energy.
Yes.
Right? Positive energy.
Yes.
Doubt's generally negative energy, right? And it's an emotion.
Yeah.
So.
And also, I'll use that guess trick on myself and on others when there's not even options. So sometimes somebody will go, I feel really depressed right now. Yeah. And you'll ask them, oh, why? What's up? I don't know. I don't know why I feel like that.
Yeah.
Guess.
Yeah, just guess.
Just guess.
Tell me. Yeah.
Because what happens is when you guess, you leave, again, it's a state change, but it's also you go away from like trying to use your conscious mind to figure things out where you're busy and just the unconscious mind pops something up. And typically, that's the fucking reason.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
You're like, well, if I had to guess, it's that blah. That's why did you say that? Like, yeah, it came from somewhere, right?
Yeah, and then you just dig into it, and you generally have an answer.
So that's that's a good little hack of just like making people guess.
I like it.
And also myself, sometimes when I'm like, I really don't know what to do here. I'm like, all right, if I had to guess, what am I going to do? Let's talk about another case, which is that there's people that think they need to be certain about everything to be able to be confident. And then there's, and then, you know, let's talk about the, I don't know why I'm sticking with this Trump and political metaphor, but let's talk about the flip-flopping thing, right? Yeah. In entrepreneurship, the difference between like sticking to an idea and being like, this is the strategy, we're going after this customer and we're going with it, with them with certainty, although we don't really know.
Yeah.
And then changing your mind.
Yeah.
And one thing that I see a lot of times, especially in startups, with people that are not that experienced in entrepreneurship or business, is that the first time you do that, people are like, all right, let's go. We're all going to rally behind this idea. And then we find out, oh, we were wrong. And now we choose another option. We go there with confidence. That's the next option. Let's go. And people start burning out.
Yeah.
Like employees as well as founders literally then go into a state where they don't believe anything anymore, or they're very cynical.
That's
because
right.
like we went through the exercise three times of being very certain that this is the strategy we need to do. We were wrong all the time. So now what I'm opting in to not be disappointed, which is again an emotional thing I'm trying to avoid, is I'm going to be just cynical about everything, or I'm not going to buy into anything because I don't want to emotionally invest in an idea or strategy and then be disappointed or hurt. Yeah. So that's a big thing in startups. It's a struggle that teams have
at that point. You're basically done. If you can't have conviction over what you're trying to do, you're done.
So how do you cultivate maintaining conviction and at the same time flexibility to change your mind? I think that's the balance that great entrepreneurs have, and that's the balance most people struggle with.
So I think it goes back to like when in doubt, don't focus on the doubt. Focus on what you actually know. So if you just start by focusing on, okay, we know this, this, and this, then the exercise doesn't become like, oh, we have, you know, we're going to go in that direction, period, right? It ends up being, okay, we know all these things, and based on what we know, we think this is right. So let's go figure out if it is right. So instead of saying, let's go sell to those customers, let's go figure out if those are the right customers because that's our guess.
So that's a beautiful way of framing it.
Yeah.
But then imagining a team meeting and that conversation, and then somebody, you know, going, but that's what we said last time as well.
Yeah.
Like, is it really worth spending all this time?
So then what I would tell them is this time's different. We're not going to spend the same amount of time we did last time, and here's a different way to do it. And so then you treat it as an experiment, and you don't treat it as the strategy.
Okay. So,
it's a learning.
And you communicate to yourself as well as anybody else. What were the benefits of being wrong, like in terms of learnings, or what are the things that we're going to do differently this time?
Yeah. Right? I mean, for me, it's like when people make that mistake, they confuse the act of discovery and learning with the act of execution.
Mm.
Right? So you're executing on learning.
Yeah.
You're not executing on selling or executing on marketing when you're trying to figure it out.
Yes.
So when you start with doubt and you don't have the answer, then focus on executing to learn the answer instead of executing to execute and grow, right? So I think there's the uncertainty of a new thing or a thing that you're getting into. And the best way to treat that would be like, well, we don't know, so we're going to go learn what the right answer is. And we know that we have to do it fast. Because if we don't do it fast and we linger on something that's wrong for a long time, people do burn out, right? Because we're all doing the wrong thing. And here's the funny thing about the burnout thing. If you just asked your team and talked to your team, you'd probably know what you were doing wrong, right? You probably know that like you're burning them like during the process. So my tactic around that is when I have doubt, literally, and it's around business and a team and like I have people around me, I'll just go start talking to them and I'll actually bring them into the doubt. Because generally by doing that, I might be wrong about us having doubt because I don't have all the information that some of these people in the company have.
Right.
So I think.
Do you typically, I typically have these kind of conversations one-on-one.
Yeah.
I don't like to, when I'm in doubt, just yesterday there was something we've been doing forever and I started doubting it yesterday based on a conversation. Yeah. And then what I tend to do is I'll start communicating in chat with like three people in the company that are very different.
Yeah.
And I go, here's the way I think about this. Are we just doing this out of habit? Is this the right strategy? Would this be a better strategy? And then I'll just have a communication with them back and forth instead of bringing it up into the entire company. I'll have a group discussion about that.
Yeah. So what I've found specifically is I like the way you communicated it, because I feel like the way you communicated it, you could communicate it to anybody on the team, mm-hmm. right? But there are people that are on sort of the teams that sort of I have that I know can live in Doubtland. Mm. And there are people that I know cannot live in Doubtland, right? And generally, the people that cannot live in Doubtland are the ones that are actually literally writing code, designing something. Doubtland for them is generally a bad thing,
yeah.
right? Unless they're like your co-founder yeah. or something, right? But then there's people that are planning in an organization. Regardless of an org, you have people that are executing and you have people that are planning. If you want to do maker manager, let's just call it that, right? So I could go to a manager with doubt, no problem, if they're a good manager. It's harder to go to a maker when they're making with doubt, because their job is making. You actually kind of don't want to get in their way, right? Even if it's the wrong thing, because yeah. they're making.
Yeah.
And the second you introduce doubt, their making changes.
Yeah.
That's what I've noticed. So if it's true doubt, I like your approach, which is just saying, hey, we're doing this. What do you think about it? Right? That's great. But for me, if I really truly want to be open with somebody, I'll find the person who can live in Doubtland. And usually that's someone who's a planner, a manager kind of thing.
Yeah, I love that. I love that framework. Yeah. What other, do you have any other, like, how do you deal, or let's maybe stop it here with like talking about things in very theoretical ways, or just in frameworks.
Yeah.
We love talking in frameworks and get very concrete. How much doubt do you experience with starting this new business that you're starting today? Like how much, and how do you deal with doubt at this point in your career?
Yeah. I actually pay a lot of attention to my doubt or my uncertainty.
Okay.
And the reason is that I found that if I'm uncertain, this is especially for me, I would say, if I'm uncertain about something or something's bothering me, it is definitely something I need to do something about.
Mm.
Like 99% of the time, it's not a false doubt at this point. So yeah. I think over time you get better at, is that real? Should I really be worried about that or not? And so at this point, it's like, if there's something I doubt, like some strategy or some product thing or something, I will go do what I told you. I'll go talk to the maker. The manager. And I'll talk to that manager, that person that I know can live in that doubt land, and be like, hey, are we thinking about this the right way? What do you think about this? Is there information I don't have that you do? Is there a perspective I don't have that you do? And then generally things change. But for me, it's very tactical. If I doubt something, there's somebody on the team that can help me, largely because they're the ones responsible for it.
Mm.
My doubt isn't necessarily something I have to do most of the time. Yeah. It's usually something that someone else has to do. If it's doubt that I have around something that I have to tactically do, then that's a whole different sort of problem for me. But if it's something where it's like we as a team, I go to the person that needs to plan it, organize it, you know, manage it, whatever.
Awesome.
But that's what I do these days. If you don't have anybody, right, and you have doubt, then I think you have to learn all the skills and tactics on getting information. So for me, doubt is just a lack of information most of the time.
Hmm.
And it's how comfortable you are with that lack of information.
Yes.
So you might not. So what I've noticed is that if I doubt something, it's because I don't have information about it.
Yeah.
Even 10% of the information or 20% of the information, I know I'm not never going to have 100%.
Mm-hmm.
So then I just try to fill my gaps on what I don't know.
That's
right. So just starting by what you don't know is an easy task.
I was ready to disagree with you there until you finished the sentence, because I think, like, it's a beautiful framework of thinking of when you're in doubt, you're lacking some information.
Yeah.
So you want to both learn how to get more information, but also you want to learn how to make decisions with less information that you're comfortable
with. That's the skill.
Right? That's the skill.
The real underlying thing we're talking about is how do you make decisions with the least amount of information?
Yes.
For me, if you can make decisions with less information than somebody else, let's say your competition, you're probably going to execute faster.
Yeah.
Right? Because you're making more decisions. So I think the thing people forget is that your success comes from making not necessarily the right decision, but fast decisions. Because I'll take more bad decisions than I would more good decisions if that means that I'm making more decisions.
Yeah.
Because I think it's just about the act of making decisions makes you get better at making decisions.
Yeah. Love that. So one weird example that popped in my mind as I asked you the question was something that I recently noticed. We're hiring again at Closeout. If you're awesome, let me know. And
awesome at what?
At this point, everything.
Awesome.
Like, really, engineering, sales, support, marketing, everything.
Sweet.
So what I used to do is I used to doubt, like I'm very fast at judging somebody and going good, bad, this and that. This is the way I analyze this person. And I'm at this point pretty accurate usually with my assessment of people. But I still, because I hate judging people and I don't, I don't believe my own judgment at all times, I'm still going to be in doubt after I made a judgment call about somebody, especially when it's kind of borderline, when I'm like, I like this person because of 10 reasons, but there's this one thing that I don't think is right. I'll start doubting and going, am I too critical? Am I making this too difficult for people? Blah, 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 all that.
Okay.
So what I recently did, I decided that it's too much work for me to handle. So I'll just have the person answer that question. So literally yesterday I was talking to somebody, and at the end of the conversation, I said, listen, I like you for these 10 reasons. You know, they're very obvious, but then there's something wrong with you. Like, or at least that's the question I have in my mind, is like, something's wrong with this person. Why is that person so amazing and still doing X, Y, and Z? Yeah. There's something I can't put my finger on.
Call him on it. So
I call him on it, and be like, I can't place my finger on it. What's your response to that? Do you think I'm an idiot? And then I'll let them respond to it. And you know, sometimes they'll respond to it in a way that makes me go, oh shit, good. All right. So I don't have to think about this anymore. And sometimes, most of the time, honestly, they say things that make me go, oh no. This is a no. Right. So instead of having to try to figure that out on my own, I just make them help me figure it out.
That's
communicating,
I
mean, honestly.
It's on them to like go either way. In fact, you're being more direct about your doubt.
Yes. Right? And also, like, I'll say it in a nice way, but it's, you know,